He said that your whole life can change in a single decision.
Welcome to Take What You Need. Think of this as a weekly catch-up between me and you where we talk about everything. From the mindset shifts that make us better versions of ourselves, to discussing how the media and marketing play an even bigger role in the story of our lives than we might think. Each week, I delve into the questions that you, the listeners, have asked and share my take on the topics that matter the most to you. Let's get started.
So guys, welcome back. I'm finally so excited to be able to, first of all, even bring this podcast back. We are in a new space shooting. I'm aiming for as much consistency as we can get. This should be a weekly situation. So if it isn't, hold me to it because we have a lot to discuss. We have a lot to break down and we have a lot to unpack. So where do I really want to start? The place that I'm going to start is actually in October last month. I went to my friend's wedding. If you follow me on Instagram, you probably saw we had a great time. We had a blast. We were in Italy. It was like fantastic, but that's all like the backdrop. The real stuff that really happened there and what I love about especially traveling or like spending a few days away for a friend's wedding is the fact that we spend time together. And it's like you take a step away from the mundane. You take a step away from all the things that you have to do, your daily life, just like the general kind of hamster wheel, the grind, and you look big picture, right? One thing we always talk about, and that's always a takeaway from these events, specifically from these weddings, is that life is really about like friendships, faith. And when we talk about faith, it's like the faith to manifest the highest version of your life, the faith to believe that there is something bigger out there, the faith to kind of go boldly for whatever you have at the highest level of your imagination, not what is achievable here, but what's at the highest level of your imagination. Because when you have that goal, your whole, the way you move, the way you approach things completely shifts. And that's kind of what I want to really like double down on today, because when you have spent like 3 days away with like people that you love, just having like an amazing time, for me anyway, it's always like a very mind shifting, like spirit shifting situation. So I obviously went back to my journal. If you've been here for a while, you know that journaling is the number one thing for me when it comes to being able to step into the next highest or higher level of my life. Because of that mundane, that hamster wheel, which I thought was really good, by the way, like I've been really busy for better and for worse, but I thought, you know, because I've been getting stuff done, everything was fine. You just get used to the day to day. And when I was able to start to reflect, to write my dreams, my ideas, that's another thing, that leaving the country and doing something completely different from your like day to day, you're like, oh my gosh, like life, there's so much more to life. And that was it for me, because I would never even define myself as this, but in hindsight, I realized that I'm a dreamer, which is why I love people's stories. I love like success stories. I love stories of like athletes and musicians who work really hard to achieve something and like everything kind of falls into place. I love all of that, because inside I'm always thinking, I'm trying to uncover. And if you, like I said, if you've been here for a couple of years, you'll know that my whole mission in life is to like uncover my true self, which is basically, to me, it's the person that you are when you take away the fears. It's the person that you are when you take away what's realistic. It's the person that you are when you take away like other people's expectations of who you are and what you should be doing. And just as I sat writing my journal, I was like, where have I been? That was the question. Where have I actually been? Because writing, and not even writing, even beginning to write and just reflect on my experiences on my travels, I thought the day to day that I've been living, these months that I've been like in London, just kind of in the grind, you know, it's not easy living in London. I've kind of just become like the lower level of myself. That dreamer stopped. My affirmations, which I know you guys are big on, I've got like 4 or 5 pages of affirmations of all areas of my life. My affirmations, I wasn't saying them as much. I was getting work done. I was responding to my responsibilities, and that was it. And that is not a life to live. Because also, if your whole scope of vision is only where your responsibilities are, then where are you like even going? So that kind of like challenged me a bit. And I asked myself, like, do I still have the faith? Do I have the faith? Do I have the belief for the biggest version of my life? Even though at the surface, I never felt like, oh, I've changed my goals, or I feel like I'm doubting. From the posture that I had internally and the things, the ideas, the dreams that I was thinking about on a day to day, or not thinking about because I was so busy like trying to just like keep a million plates spinning, all of that had kind of faded to the wayside, which is really not like me. And I reflect and I ask myself, like, the mundaneness of the day-to-day deliverables, had that really taken me away from dreaming big and pushing forward to the next mountain peak of what's possible? Again, like, I feel like I've said a lot in this particular episode if you've been here for a while, but honestly, it's a journey. Like, people who have followed me since like 2016, 2018, like, you know, it's been a journey, and life is so incremental that everything is connected. That's kind of my vibe. It's not just coming out of nowhere. So I found that these ideas that I'd had, these lofty ideas, these lofty goals, had kind of faded into the background. And those were the things that really kept me going. Those are the things that when people ask me, how do you have the confidence to kind of do an alternative career, do things that you have not been exposed to previously because you didn't have the formal training, all this stuff, take all these risks. That energy didn't exist. If you're stuck in the mundane, that energy to take risks, that energy to take life by the horns just stops existing completely. And that was really shocking to me. That was something that made me think, okay, I think we need to kind of get back to the heart of what we're doing. And not being able to step away really led me to a big loss of that vision. I'd kind of been stuck in the, like, what do they call it? It's like a bit of a Groundhog Day situation. So anyway, so that's where I was. And being away jolted me back to reality. So not reality of the day-to-day grind, but reality of what's possible, the reality to, like, dream and to have expectations bigger than your life right here. And I wrote in my journal a phrase that I had probably heard maybe like 6 years ago from Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker. And he had said that your whole life can change in a single decision. What people typically look for when they're looking for a new job, or they're looking to move countries, or they're looking for like that next big goal, trying to achieve the next thing, you're always thinking, what should I do? What should I do? But actually, the change that you're looking for in life, that big next leap, actually comes from the decision. It comes a step before that. It's not about the action. Action flows out of decision. What changes your life is the decision to opt in. So for example, I make a decision to opt into always expressing my creativity every day, no matter what job I'm in. That's a decision. Before you then say, okay, that creativity manifests in, let's say, starting a clothing brand or like starting your own business, you won't have the wherewithal internally to do all those things if you haven't decided that I'm actually going to live my life this way. So that's what jumped out to me. And that was my like biggest realization in this, is that I needed to opt in again. So you might be asking, opt into what? And for me, that was to opt into the biggest version of my life vision, to opt into the relationships, the friendships, the lifestyle, the social circles that I had seen in the highest version of my aspirations, of my dreams. Like, I'm quite like a dreamer. I would say that I'm actually quite a realist, but when I speak like this, it sounds like I'm such a dreamer. And the goal was to always be an active contributor rather than a passive participant in my own life. So being able to make decisions on my own terms and being able to basically opt in to even dare to have an aspiration that was unrealistic, that would make people feel intimidated, that would make other people just think, that doesn't make sense for you because you're this type of person, you can't do this, right? And that's, I've always, for a long time, probably since I was like 11, I've decided that that was never the way that I was going to live my life. And I guess you can think of opting in as like owning it, right? Because when you own your stuff, when you own your ish, like, you essentially take full responsibility for it. You take responsibility for how your life goes. You take responsibility for how your relationships go. You take responsibility for how your money goes. You take ownership. And it really, like, when I was thinking, okay, opting in, owning it, I was really thinking of, like, for Real Housewives fans, I was thinking, like, own it, Lisa, own it. Like, you've got to, people that own stuff are able to make a decision. If you don't take responsibility for things, when they go right, when they go wrong, it's hard for you to assume ownership of it. Whereas if you do take responsibility, when things go wrong, you can steer it. But someone who doesn't take ownership or accountability, when things go wrong, for example, when they change direction, they'll be like, it wasn't me. And then, like, let's say a ball falls right now on the floor and someone doesn't own it. And they're like, it's nothing to do with me. Like, it's not my fault the ball fell. It's going to keep rolling into a random direction. Whereas if you take ownership for something, you're like, that fell. I actually want it to go left. I'm going to pick it up and move it. That's the difference. That's where your decision to say, okay, I'm actually going to go for this thing, or I'm going to even believe that I can be the person to go for this thing, or I'm going to own it. That's the difference. And it sounds so like abstract, but I think if you're listening to this podcast, especially if this is not your first time listening, you probably know that everything for me always starts internally. It starts in the abstract stuff, and the practical is the outpouring of it, which I'll get into like later. Before you even take a single step, before you do anything, you have to be in alignment. Your mind has to be in alignment. Our humanity, our existence, our physicality is dictated by our what's in our brains, right? What's in our spirits, what's in our internal thing, right? And that's where the phrase like my heart's not in it comes from. That's when people say like, I can see their heart's not in it. Let's say you've gone to dinner with someone and you can see that their heart is not in it. Let's use heart as a synonym for like their heart, their brain, their spirit's not in it. They've not taken ownership of it. You can be sitting and eating dinner with them, but you can see that the conversation's not going anywhere. The relationship's not really being built. It's just, it's unsatisfying for the both of you. That's the same energy when you don't take ownership. That's the same energy when you just, when you haven't made a decision that actually I'm going to move forward into this space. You're just, your heart's not in it, and it's fine, but it's not anything worthwhile. And that's the difference between people who say that they want things. That's the difference between people who actually have the things, right? There's two people in the world, people that say they want things and people that actually have these experiences and these things. And we can say, oh, but that's because they had XYZ privilege, they have XYZ leg up. But I actually think the biggest difference is, are you actually on the sidelines of life, or are you in the ring? Are you, you know, in the arena, as Brené Brown would say, like, are you in the arena actually like participating? And this whole idea of like your mind, your heart being on the page and opting in is what dictates your actions, really manifest. And we're going to go, as we always do, we're going to go back. We're going to look at like the Bible. It makes me think about Genesis 11, which I think is such an interesting story that I never really understood until I got older, because someone actually explained it to me in a fresh way. And it's the Tower of Babel. So like, with quick context, it's all the people in the world at that time. Don't know how many, what the global population was back then, but all the people in the world decide that they're going to build this massive tower, and they all speak the same language, so they're like building it, and it's like they're going for it. And in the passage it says, you know, and the Lord is like looking at them and says, if they speak the same language, because they're speaking the same language and they have begun to do this, nothing that they plan will be impossible for them. And you guys know me, I'm someone who follows principles, right? So if the principle there is that all these people in the world are all on the same page, they're all speaking the same language, because they're congruent, i.e. because they're in agreement, because they have the same narrative, nothing's impossible for them. Okay, great. Now we apply that to owning it. We applied that to you specifically, right? If your brain doesn't think that it can achieve XYZ, but you're trying because you think that, let me just give it a go, but in your brain you've not actually decided, I'm actually gonna go for it. Those two things aren't speaking the same language. So things are gonna be impossible for you, because as it says here, like, they are speaking the same language, and therefore like nothing is impossible for them. That's the difference. Like, you think you can't trick your life into, you can't trick your life into existence. You can't trick the fact that you don't really believe that you can do or access or experience a certain thing and then just put the effort in if your mind isn't there. Your heart's not in it, basically. Your heart and your mind's not in it, and therefore you can't actually take the action. And that's what this is all about. I think that's why Tony Robbins says that your life can change like this on a single decision. Not because the power of the mind means you don't have to work. No, because the power of the mind is the first spark that dictates all the physical action that we take. When you think about your brain or your mind or the internal stuff versus the physical stuff, if your hands are doing something that your mind doesn't really believe, you're basically like doubting, right? Even if you're not on the surface thinking, can I do it, can I not? Because you've not agreed with you, your internal and your external haven't agreed, you're basically in doubt. And in James 1:6, you know, it literally says like, someone who doubts is like the waves of the sea. You get blown and you get tossed by the wind. And personally, maybe because I'm a control freak, who knows, that's not how I want to live. And the moment that I personally decided to opt in, something in my brain completely clicked. Like, I even wrote, I opt into this. I opt into a certain life. I opt into a certain type of relationship. So I literally wrote it down in my journal. I was like, I opt in, like I made an internal decision. And that's why I said in my stories the other day that prayer, or I guess like in that sense, like journaling, is kind of like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because in that, it's the entire practice of being able to affirm things in the psychology first. And that's how NLP changes how people behave. It's a type of, like, I guess, like, it's not therapy, but it's a type of, like, mind-based performance goal-setting exercise, right? So again, I'm talking, like, abstract, my experiences coming from a wedding, talking about the Bible, but all of that is then, like, distilling itself into something that you can Google a science, which is neuro-linguistic programming, which you can Google, and you can see, like, the dots are all joined. Because in these exercises, whether it's like opting in and writing it down, or whether it's like verbalizing, saying that you opt in, all of these things, you're basically like reframing and recharging your mind to go back to what it should be doing when it's not being beat down by the harsh realities of life, or like what's actually possible according to other people. And I think for me, that's the inherent challenge of what life is. That's the essence of living a full life on your own terms, is always constantly being able to carve out the mind space and the time to reset and go back to this, because life is busy, life is hectic, and you can just get stuck in the motions. And suddenly, for example, suddenly it's 5 months, 6 months since you've recorded your last podcast episode. Like, I'm just speaking from experience. I think while on one side it might sound like, well, now I've got to like go through all this effort to try and like hype myself up, on the flip side, it's kind of like, actually, you don't have to do much. You just have to opt in. You just have to make a decision. And it's actually so funny, actually. Like, I then, after I put this whole, like, I teased this concept on my Instagram stories, right? And then I had a friend, I won't say her name, but I had a friend then text me and literally just say, it was just so nice. I was so happy. Wait, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, so they wrote to me, they put it on their stories, and they were like, I relate to this so hard. And I was like, opt in, I know that's right. And then she replied, when I read this, I zoned and I journaled what things I'm going to opt into, and I felt so aligned, because like, why can't we have it? And she was just like, yeah, you know, like, this focus has completely changed me. And I think that's it. Like, it sounds so small, but all the most important things are like intangible, because the intangible, as we know, like, is what dictates the physical. Obviously, I think like a couple of things that I would always say is, I think, again, if you're new here, especially, I never, as much as I try to make sure that these podcast episodes are as helpful as they can be, you can never have all the footnotes, right? We would need a book. We need a dissertation with all the notes in there. But I want to give you a couple of caveats, two main ones, which are, this opting in idea, it's really important that it comes from you, and that takes some time to really think and reflect on, like, what are my actual personal goals versus what are the goals that I think I should have, because there's a huge difference between what we think our aspirations are based on all the pictures that are shown to us day in, day out, right? All the norms that maybe someone we've grown up with has told us about, all the content we see on social media, and what your actual, like, God-given, like, life vision is. And when I talk about opting in, it's very important to opt into the latter and not the former. And it's funny, because as I was preparing for this podcast and I was thinking about this idea, the word for today, that day, was literally all about vision, and most importantly, like, its source. And that kind of takes us back to the Babel concepts, because one thing I'd always wondered for a long time, up until literally I was on my way to record this episode, and I was thinking, I don't understand, though, why was it so bad that the people all spoke one language and they built this tower? Like, why is that a bad thing? Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that unity? Isn't that uniformity? That while uniformity and congruence is important, so whether you're congruent between, like, your mind and your actions, or whether there's congruence in your community, there's a thin line between that and basically, like, uniformity to its detriment. So basically, like sheep, right? Basically, what I'm trying to say is that while the desire to build like a massive tower, it's benign, right? It's not evil. It was probably very good. I really wonder whether every single person in the world's goal in life or life purpose was to build that tower. And I think that could be why, again, this is something that I'm reflecting on and trying to understand, like, the heart of, like, what maybe God was trying to say. That is the heart of why they all started to speak different languages, because sometimes when you have uniformity on a grand scale, or when you have like agreement on a grand scale, what basically happens is everybody starts chasing the same goal. And if I liken that back to our social media driven world, right? we have pictures of what success looks like. In some contexts, that's you have a certain type of corporate job and you make a certain amount of money. In some contexts, that looks like you make only this type of content. And I think God, as much as God cares about like communal agreement and congruence in the mind and spirit, sometimes if you have that massive uniformity on a grand scale, you lose the uniqueness that we're all meant to have. Because I doubt, yeah, like I said, I doubt everyone's goal should have been like building that single thing, right? And again, we'll talk about this when I do the episode on success and like basically why you should see yourself as a success now and not later. But this whole idea that the person next on your left and right, their goal or their ideal of what a life well lived isn't the same as yours. And part of our roles as individuals is to unwind ourselves from what we see as the one or two or three or the handful of pictures of what success is, because it's so diverse, it's so unique. And actually sometimes buying into basically downloading other people's external things of success is actually not, it's not going to help us, and it's not what like God wants to see. And that always reminds me of a verse which sounds really intense, and it kind of is intense, and I guess it is kind of serious. And it's like, it basically says like, there's a way that seems right to a man but ends in death. And it's like, I know that's intense, I've used the word like death, but it's Proverbs 14:12, and it, the reason why that always sticks to me is like, even if it's not a physical death and it's metaphorical death, it's this idea that I think in our world sometimes we're like, oh well, this looks good, so it must be good. And actually, I'm very, very aware that sometimes are the things that we think we've opted into because they're like, they look nice, they're not what is right for us as individuals. It could be right in general. This isn't about moral right and wrong. This is about right as in the right fit for you. And I think that's my caveat with all of this, is you want to be very careful to really seek out what you're being called to opt into, right? And you know it inside. Like I said at the top of this like episode, I said the biggest goal and the biggest goal of life is to really get to your core, is to be who you are after you've taken off years of conditioning, after you've taken off social pressures, after you've taken off all that other stuff that kind of gets in the way. So like, don't be kind of put off and thinking like, now I've got to find this thing and double check that my aspirations aren't like influenced by external circumstances, because it's actually easier than you think, it's closer than you think, it's your true design, it's your true it's who you really are. So it's not that hard to find, it's just something you've got to like be aware of. Even though it's something to be aware of, it's actually what we need to be doing, where we need to be opting in. The thing that is the goal and the purpose of our individual lives is actually closer than you think, so there's nothing to worry about. So I say all this to say, take 5 minutes now, open up your journal, open up your laptop, your notes app on your phone, whichever, and just take 5 minutes to dream again. Maybe go on a walk. If you've got holiday planned, I'm jealous, and you should do it while you're out there. But go on a walk, change of scene, and just start to just ask again, like, what are the things that I should be aiming for? What are my big picture visions? Not the stuff that I'm trying to achieve in the next 3 weeks. That's the mundane stuff. Why am I here? Like, what is that? What am I shooting for? What have I been afraid to say? Yes, I actually want to pursue, but for whatever reason, it just feels like, just relax. You don't need to do that. But cancel all that stuff. Cancel all the what's realistic and go for what's been in the back of your heart, like lingering there for weeks and weeks, and opt into it. Literally write down, I opt in, I opt in, I opt into, and then write what it is. I opt into, I write, and then write what it is. And here's to our lives changing once we've now reaffirmed or remade this decision.